Well, this morning I'd like to speak about encouragement. And I think in these days we all need to be reminded of the ministry of encouragement and how important it is. I've just read to you a couple of passages from the book of Acts where we have a man called Barnabas who has been mentioned. And if you study the life of Barnabas in the Bible, you'll find that Barnabas was a real encourager. He made an impact by uplifting others, by building other people up, by standing for others, and by standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible encourages us that as we see the day approaching, that we should be encouraging one another. The book of Hebrews says this in verse 24 of chapter 10, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another," exhorting or encouraging one another, "and so much the more as you see the day approaching." The day is approaching of the rapture of the church. The day is approaching where Jesus is going to come for his people. And we need to be encouraging one another as we see the day approaching. Now in Acts chapter 4, that's the first mention of this man called Barnabas. And Barnabas is mentioned 28 times in the New Testament. And the first time we meet him is in verse 36 of Acts chapter 4. And I'll read it to you here. The Bible says, "And Joseph," so that's his name, "who was also named Barnabas," so he's given the nickname of Barnabas, "by the apostles," which is translated "son of encouragement." So his name was Joseph, but he was given the name Barnabas because he was a son of encouragement. "A Levite of the country of Cyprus." What do we know about Barnabas? Well, we know he was an encourager, as I've just mentioned. But in Acts 11, verse 24, the Bible talks about him and it says, "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith." So he was a Spirit-filled believer. And part of being a Spirit-filled believer was he was an encourager to others. And I think that all of us need to think about a Barnabas ministry because it's one ministry that is possible for every single one of us. Not all of us might be preachers or SRE teachers or whatever other ministry you might have. But this is a ministry that we all can do. We can all be encouragers. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another," or build up one another, "just as you also are doing." Now, Barnabas was not only known for his ministry of encouragement, but he was also known for his ministry of generosity. He gave so that others that were less fortunate than him, so that others would be helped. And if I go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 41, you find that there were 3,000 souls saved there. In Acts 2:47, we know that there were new believers that were coming into the church daily. The Bible says here, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved." In Acts chapter 4, we have persecution starting. And the Bible says, "And they laid hands on them." This is John and Peter. "And put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. So you see a dramatic growth in the early church. From Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 4, there's incredible growth. 5,000 men mentioned here. That doesn't mention their wives and possibly some of their children that had come to know the Lord as well. But as the church grows, there's actually a need. And it's a need to reach out to believers that are less fortunate. And we have this in Acts 4 verse 32. "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and verse 35 says, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. So this is the early church, and there were the believers back then were willing to sell houses and land and pool it together so that they could minister to those that were less fortunate. And Barnabas was one of those people. Barnabas saw a physical need amongst the early church, and Barnabas thought, I can meet that need. And the Bible says here in verse 36, and Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So he's a son of encouragement, but he's also a man of generosity. He's a man that sees the needs of other people and he meets those needs. Now you've got to remember, in the early church, there was no government welfare program. So the church became an organization that not only preached the gospel, but it also provided welfare to meet the physical needs of others. You know, in my own ministry, I've received the ministry of a number of Barnabases. I've met a number of Barnabases, and I should say men and women, people of encouragement over the years. In my first church, there was a man that he prayed every night for myself and my family. And that man would be an encourager, and he'd talk to me after the sermon. He might talk about the message, but he was a man that was encouraging us and also praying for us every day. And for years and years, that man was a Barnabas to me, and I was blessed by him. I remember a lady, my first public message was in a high school at Parramatta, and I suppose I spoke to about 6 or 10 people. It wasn't a big congregation. And there was a lady there, and that lady encouraged me after that message. And I look back and I think, because of her encouragement, that's one of the steps I took in ministering the word from the pulpit, because a lady way back just gave me some encouragement. When I went to theological college, there was a minister, Baptist minister, called Edgerton Long. Do you remember him? Nicknamed Ed. And Ed's written a number of little booklets. We've got some of them out there. Well, Ed would invite first-year students to his house. And he would get first-year students to come over to his house, and you'd go to where his lounge room or living area was, and there'd be all these theological books laid out all around the floor and on the table, all over the place. And Ed had a friend in America, and the friend in America paid for theological books for Australian students. And so we could go to Ed's place, and Ed would say, you can take books from that pile and that pile. And so I remember, as a first year theological student, because of the giving of a man in America, I was able to get theological books. Ed was an encouragement. That man in America that I've never met was an encouragement to me, and I can point to you at least one of those books that are still on my shelf that I got all those years ago. We need encouragers in churches. And you and I, we have a great hope. We have the great hope that we are saved, that we have a home in heaven, that God has purchased us because of the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus, on the cross. He shed his blood for us. And we are people of hope, and we should be the most hopeful people in our society. And we should be the most encouraging people in our society. You know, what you give and how you encourage others, God takes note of that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. You need to be sowing into people's lives. Sow encouragement. Ring people up. Get them on the phone. Email them. Write letters. Go to their place. Knock on their door. Encourage people. You know, statistically, they say that if a new visitor is welcomed 3 times in their first service, that it is very, very likely that that person will return. If they've only welcomed once, it's quite possible they'll never return. But 3 times, if a person is welcomed outside the church, inside the church, and before they go, if someone speaks to them before they go, statistically, the statistics are very high that that person will return. Very important, even here in church on a Sunday, to make sure you go up to someone and you encourage them. Barnabas was an encourager. Barnabas gave physically to the needs of others. And thirdly, Barnabas took Saul and he brought him to the apostles. Now, this is incredible when you think about what Barnabas did here. Barnabas was integral in making sure that the apostle Paul was recognized as a real Christian in the early church. Now, you might think about Paul. Paul is also known as Saul in the Bible. But prior to him coming to Christ, Paul had a terrible reputation amongst Christian churches. Let me read to you how he got that reputation. When Stephen was stoned, the first Christian martyr, the Bible says in Acts 7 verse 58, "And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul." So in Acts chapter 7, you'll remember that Stephen was stoned. He was persecuted. He preached a message. And the Jewish leadership of the day had him killed. And Paul, who is known as Saul, was in agreement with that. You see, Paul was a persecutor of Christians before he himself became a Christian. Acts 8 verse 1. "Now Saul was consenting to his death," verse 3 says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison." So he had a very bad reputation as Saul. And the early church was very skeptical of Saul or Paul after his conversion. And it was very hard for him to be accepted in the early church. But Barnabas came along, Barnabas the encourager, and he encouraged the apostle Paul, and he also encouraged the church to accept Paul and his ministry. Look at verse 26 of Acts chapter 9. "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem," now he's converted here, "and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples." You remember he'd been converted on the road to Damascus. So he's a converted man when he comes to Jerusalem. "He tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him." And what a difference it made that Barnabas was an encourager to the Apostle Paul. You know, we have all these epistles. Much of the New Testament is written by the Apostle Paul. I wonder what would have happened if Barnabas hadn't encouraged the early church to accept Paul and his ministry. Barnabas was willing to give Saul a go, and Barnabas stood up for Paul. You know, we really need to be careful that we don't end up with a ministry of discouragement. There are some people that are great encouragers in churches, and unfortunately, there can be some people that can be great discouragers in churches. I want to read to you a story of a missionary that was discouraged, and his life ended tragically. Let me read you this story. His father and grandfather were pastors. This young man's zeal for Christ grew in his early 20s. He wanted to study theology at a seminary but failed the entrance exam. Undeterred, the young man decided to become a missionary to poor coal miners of his day in Belgium. In the Borinage district of Belgium, he ministered amongst miners that were sick and starving. A mining explosion had occurred, leaving numbers of miners in terrible conditions, fighting for their survival. The young man was zealous for his missionary work amongst the miners. In a letter to his brother Theo in 1876, the young man wrote, "He has sent me to preach the gospel to the poor." He was so moved by those that were in poverty around him that he gave away all of his possessions, including most of his clothing, to the miners. The New York Times wrote in 1999 about this missionary. He gave away his money and clothes, refused the lodgings of a miner family, and slept crouched in the hearth of a bare hovel. He even refused the luxury of soap. The New York Times describes the young missionary as a shirtless, soot-faced and emaciated, tending his flock with an intense ardour. A book by Erickson recounts, a church official concluded that the zeal that the missionary had for his work was scandalous. He was reported to church authorities and they rejected his ministry. They concluded that he suffered from excessive zeal and that he did not dress or preach eloquently. They withdrew their support, and so he was unable to continue his work. The missionary was good at art, so he entered the world of painting. Even in that deep misery, this is what he writes, "Even in that deep misery, I felt my energy revive, and I said to myself, in spite of everything, I shall rise again. I will take up my pencil, which I had forsaken in my discouragement, and I will go on with my drawing." One of his paintings in 1885 was an open Bible. There was a large family Bible opened at Isaiah 53, and next to it is a well-used novel, Joie de Vivre, which means joy of life. And next to that novel was a snuffed out candle in the background. The missionary I'm talking about is Vincent van Gogh. People know him as Van Gogh. This missionary's life became one of tragedy. And I wonder what would have happened if church officials had encouraged him rather than discouraged him in his work. They withdrew their support, as I mentioned. Do you know that in the anniversary year of his death, I think it was 1990, there was 1.2 million people that came to Amsterdam to view a major exhibition of his art. But officials were still prejudiced against the deceased missionary artist. What visitors did not see at the exhibition was Van Gogh's paintings that depicted Christian themes. They were not to be seen by those that came, and they were deliberately kept in the basement of the museum. He had painted the Pietà, the suffering Christ. He had painted the raising of Lazarus. He had painted the Good Samaritan and other works depicting Bible scenes that were not to be seen. You know, discouragement has profound effects. A church official concluded that Van Gogh's zeal as a missionary was scandalous. He was reported to the church authorities, as I mentioned, and he was rejected in his ministries. Things might have been far different for Van Gogh if Van Gogh had had a Barnabas. Barnabases are important. And we need to be aware that we can either be an encourager or we can be a discourager to people. And we're going to give an account. Barnabas not only stood up for Paul, he stood up for others as well. When you read the story of Barnabas, there's another man that was encouraged by him, and his name was John Mark. And John Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. And in the book of Acts, there was a dispute between Paul and Barnabas over John Mark. And here we find that John Mark, that Barnabas wants to encourage John Mark in the ministry, but he'd failed Paul previously. And so Paul was not an encouragement at this time to John Mark. Acts 15, verse 36. We read here about Barnabas and Paul. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now what happened here was that Paul wanted to revisit the believers in the city that he'd shared God's word previously. And Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, but Paul did not want to take John Mark on that trip. John Mark, for some reason, had deserted the mission team on Paul's first missionary journey. We read Acts 13, verse 13, "And when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." I think in Paul's eyes, John Mark was a failure. And I wonder if Paul had forgotten that he'd been given a chance at this particular time. Paul wasn't perfect, none of us are. But maybe he forgot the chance that he was given because of Barnabas. Barnabas had stood up for Paul, and now Barnabas, the encourager, stands up for John Mark. And when Barnabas stood up for Paul, what an incredible result that had. When he introduced him to the church and he insisted that his ministry was okay, it had the effect of Paul being accepted into the church. And Paul being accepted into the church, when I think about the Apostle Paul, he, I believe, was the greatest missionary that has ever lived apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. What if Barnabas had not encouraged him? We would not have many of the books in the New Testament that Paul wrote. Paul was encouraged by Barnabas, and Barnabas continues his work and he encourages John Mark, and because he encouraged John Mark, we have the book of Mark. It's a lesson for us. If people fail us, do we write them off, or are we willing to give them a second chance? Our God forgives us because of Christ. Do we forgive others? Colossians 3 verse 12, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." God gave a second chance to John Mark, and Paul and John Mark went on and had great ministries. And God can give us second chances when we fail, and I hope you give others second chances as well. We need to be thankful for people like Barnabas. You know, towards the end of Paul's life, he wrote about John Mark, and this is what he wrote in 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me." And he says this, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." So here's a guy, he didn't want him to go on that missionary trip, argued with Barnabas, but he comes around and he realizes that John Mark is useful for the ministry. Paul had a change of heart. Who might you encourage in ministry? Who might you encourage this week? Who are your Sauls? Who are your John Marks? Not only did Barnabas encourage individuals, but Barnabas encouraged churches where he ministered. Acts 11, verse 19. "Now there those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great multitude and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch." Barnabas was used in a ministry not only to encourage individuals, but Barnabas was used in a ministry to encourage churches, and specifically there, the church at Antioch. God wants to use us as encouragers. And you never know whose life you might change by even welcoming them to church, by even saying goodbye, or how are you, or ringing someone up, or sending them a text or an email. You never know what life you might change if you would just encourage someone. Barnabas was an encourager. I want to close with this story. There was a man, his name's hard for me to pronounce, but I'll do my best. His name was Viktor Serebryakov, and he was born in the slums of East London. His father was Russian and his mother was English. Unfortunately, a teacher told Viktor that he was a dunce. We would say the teacher told him that he was a dummy. And the teacher advised him to find a job doing manual labour because the teacher thought that that's all he would be good for. So Viktor, he left school at the age of 16, and for the next 15 years he worked at various different jobs, doing manual labouring jobs. But one day Viktor decided that he was going to join the army. And he went and he had a physical test and a mental test to see what his abilities were like. When he did the mental test, the intelligence test, the test revealed that he had an IQ of 161. The man that had left school early because of what the teacher had said to him, the man had worked for 15 years in hard manual jobs, had an IQ of 161. Viktor was a genius. But someone years before had told him that he was a dunce, that he was a dummy. So Viktor had the mindset that he was a dunce, he was a dummy, and he could only do very basic tasks in life. And there's nothing wrong with manual work at all. But he had this mindset that was imposed by a discouraging teacher. "Well, you, sir, are not a dunce. You have an IQ of 161. You, sir, are a genius." When Viktor heard that he was intelligent, his life changed. And Victor went on to publish 20 books. And he became the honorary international president for the Mensa Society, which is a society for people with high IQs. And you have to have an IQ of 130 to join. I must renew my membership this week. The manual worker was told that he was a genius. The manual worker was encouraged when he went for the army exam, and it made a difference to him. We need Barnabases. We need people that will encourage people. Think of Van Gogh and the discouragement of church officials, shipwrecked a missionary in that day. And the tragedy of their words ruined a life. And his life ended up in despair and depression and finally suicide. What a difference those church officials could have made in the life of Van Gogh if they only encouraged him and if they did not despise his zeal but encouraged him in the ministry that he had amongst those poor miners. Acts 9:26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming for his bride, and we need to be encouraging one another as we see the day approaching. Father, we just thank you for the ministry of Barnabas, a ministry that enabled the Apostle Paul to do such a wonderful work in the early church and to write so many letters. We thank you that his ministry, Barnabas's ministry, is an encourager to Mark, John Mark. We now have the book of Mark because he believed in Mark and what he could do. We thank you that he encouraged the early churches. And Lord, help us to examine our own hearts. If we have been a person that's discouraged others, Lord, help us to make that right. And Lord, help us to be people, as we see the day approaching, help us to be people of encouragement, just like Barnabas. We thank you for the word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.